ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A royal apology from Kensington Palace. The Princess of Wales saying that, like a lot of amateur photographers, she edited a photo of her and her three children. That photo put out to try and calm fears over her recent hospitalization, but many spoke up saying the picture had been altered. Some are calling on the palace to release the original, unedited photo. Best Picture and Best Director at the Oscars last night went to Oppenheimer. This is director Christopher Nolan accepting his Academy Award.
Movies are just a little bit over 100 years old. I mean, imagine being there 100 years into painting or theater. We don't know where this incredible journey is going from here. But to know that you think that I'm a meaningful part of it means the world to me.
This is the start of Ramadan. There was hope that a ceasefire would be reached in Gaza before the month of fasting began, but that did not happen. Hunger worsening in the Gaza Strip, pressure mounting on Israel over the growing humanitarian crisis. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The search for a missing toddler from the Manitowoc area has expanded up to Green Bay. More than 50 volunteers began searching for 3-year-old Elijah Vu on trails and in wooded areas in Green Bay over the weekend. The boy's mother and her boyfriend are charged with child neglect. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin this week. President Biden will take his message to Milwaukee on Wednesday.
The president and vice president will travel to every battleground state in March. Mr. Biden will make stops in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, New Hampshire, and Michigan over the next week. The Biden campaign is also opening up 100 new offices and adding 350 more staffers in battleground states.
Karen Travers reporting from the White House. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Tomorrow is expected to be the final day of the legislative session in Wisconsin, with the Senate taking the floor. There, it is likely that the Senate will fire two members of the UW Board of Regents, who both voted against a deal to fund infrastructure projects and pay raises for UW staff in return for cutting DEI positions. John Miller and Dana Walks will be voted on by the full Senate tomorrow after a committee recommended not confirming them. Walks, a lawyer from Eau Claire, said if he's fired, he is considering running for the state assembly. A 20-year-old Avoca man was arrested after leading officers on a high-speed chase in northern Iowa County. According to the sheriff's department, the man was driving east on Highway 133 at speeds of over 100 miles per hour when he didn't stop from a deputy fleeing into Avoca. He was stopped there and taken into custody on suspicion of fleeing an officer and possession of THC. Fire danger remains high in western Wisconsin today, with temperatures climbing into the mid-60s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Badgers get iced.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports men's college hockey. The Badgers losing at home to Ohio State 3-1 in the Kohl Center. It was game three of a best of three game series. The Buckeyes with a losing record now advance in the Big Ten tournament, while the Badgers with the second best record will wait to find out in 2 weeks where they'll be seated in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers women's hockey team winning 6-3 against OSU Saturday in a competition in Minneapolis. College basketball, Marquette, the number 3 seed in the Big East tournament after beating Xavier. They'll play on Thursday. Wisconsin is the number 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament after losing on the road to Purdue 78-70. The Badgers will either face Maryland or Rutgers Thursday afternoon at 1:30 at the Target Center in Minneapolis. NBA, the Bucks with a 124-117 win over the Clippers. Is the chemistry between Damian Lillard and Giannis improving?
It's getting better and better. They're trusting it. You put two great players together.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 64 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25. Tonight we'll drop down to 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warm, 69 for a high. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy. Could see a few showers by late Wednesday and Wednesday night. Our high Wednesday, 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now,
hey,
it's 34.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So what you're going to be hearing, these are the early stages of Motown. And I remember as a very young boy seeing, you know, the Temptations and the Supremes and the Four Tops and all those people on the show called Ed Sullivan. And so these are some of those early stages of Motown. We're going to take you on a musical sojourn and journey in the Mondays to come that'll take you up to, you know, the latest and greatest Motown songs, you know, that will certainly pique your curiosity and excite you as you remember those times of our youth. Anyway, welcome back. And I still have Mr. Alan Chavoya with me. And again, he's with the Milwaukee Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. I want to take these phone calls and give him a chance and give you a chance to have a dialogue with him. Let's talk to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Oh, good morning. As you know, I work for the Milwaukee Police Department in the Communications Division, Civilian Division, for 24 years. And I know Chief Jeffrey Norman.
Good
he
man.
Is an outstanding man.
Good man. He's my friend, right?
Oh, yeah. But like any type of situation, you have people who belong in that group of people that does that type of work, and those people who should never have even been allowed to wear the uniform. And we are totally, the people who work there totally know that. The problem with a lot of this that goes on is that these officers, day in and day out, are faced with problems. What I call man's inhumanity to man.
Yes.
And sometimes this just, there's a breaking point. And it's no excuse. I'm not making an excuse for any of these, but some of these officers then should retire from the force or be somewhat let go when they hit that point. And I do think there should be a fire and police commission. There should be another type of agency besides the police department to look at these incidents. And the one incident that you talked about in the park where that young man died, I worked that night. I know exactly what went on and what went wrong. And we were devastated by what happened.
So, Susan, let me say this to the listening audience, and Alan, you can certainly chime in. Why is it that law enforcement officers are not mandated to have to seek psychological support? It makes no sense to me that you put law enforcement officers in situations where they're dealing with some horrific things, and then they're not mandated to get some psychological support. You know, that should be mandatory. That job is a job unlike any other. And so they're put in situations where they're dealing with some horrific things, and then they don't have to have psychological evaluations done during at different times. Am I right in saying that?
I mean, I think the resources are there to do that support. I recognize some of what you just said, Susan, but I think you're getting us into a good direction, right, of there needs to be something else other than the police to rely on. Unfortunately, over the past several decades, and this isn't just a Milwaukee-specific thing, but law enforcement, more and more, the police are responsible for a lot of public services that we have, a plethora of services, anything from, like, you know, anything of doing with traffic to investigating a homicide and everything in between, right? And so the question is, why is it that we're relying so much on the police to do these things that could be done by other more equipped, you know, services, right? Something like a domestic violence call, someone to de-escalate that, right? I recognize that at times you do need something, more robust than just someone that's unarmed. But, you know, there's people in Milwaukee who are doing this outside of law enforcement and are very successful in going into houses that are dealing with emergency situations, de-escalating them so that it doesn't turn into a shootout, right? How we typically have. Someone like, you know, the other caller talked about Jacob Blake. Why did the police escalate it to that point, right? Why isn't it a professional that can help de-escalate the situation so that we're not placed in those situations? So it requires something else other than just saying, we need more police, we need more police, we need more police. So we got to get out of that cycle, out of that narrow-minded thinking that we're given day in, day out by the news, by politicians in our city, in the nation.
Well, so that was the whole purpose of the Office of Violence Prevention. To offer, you know, opportunities to not bring law enforcement there, you know, and yet, you know, that hasn't worked out so well. Susan, you wanted to say again. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I told you I worked in that sector when that happened. And at the time, and most people weren't aware of it, but we had a two-man squad with a psychologist that actually ran from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and we would send that officer, that squad, particular squad.
So, Susan, I don't think we should get into the case over the air, but thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. And this is a great topic. And by the way, being from Detroit, I'm loving the Motown Monday,
all right,
to say the least. I'd like to say, you know, when Wauwatosa was struggling with an officer that had killed 3 individuals in 5 years back in 2020, it came to light that thanks to the Wisconsin statutes, our police and fire commission here in Wauwatosa lacked the authority to dismiss the officer and the police chief, essentially, who was widely seen as running an out-of-control police department and eventually retired. But definitely the state statutes put limits on what the Police and Fire Commission and the Common Council and everybody else could do in trying to rein in some out-of-control police behavior. Also, I'd like to say that when this Police and Fire Commission had a chance to choose a chief in 2020-2021, they asked the 3 finalists, who were all Milwaukee Police Department officers, what their thoughts were on body cams in the public. 2 of the 3 said that body cam coverage or footage had to be kept out of the public's view to, quote unquote, protect their officers until the police department deemed it appropriate. Now, the third candidate, Captain Jeffrey Salazar, also of the Milwaukee Police Department, said that it should be released immediately, which was a shock, to say the least, but provided some hope for progress. But Mr. Salazar, to nobody's surprise, was not chosen as our next police chief here in Wauwatosa. And to answer the question of the Jacob Blake situation, I've also witnessed numerous videos of individuals resisting arrest and even challenging police with weapons and not get shot. And these individuals all shared a particular characteristic that I believe influenced their chances of surviving these incidents. And that's all I
hey, I'll hey, hang up Eric, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond?
No, I just want to say, you know, justice for Antonio Gonzalez, Jay Anderson, and Alvin Cole. Those were the three young men killed by the same killer cop in Wauwatosa.
Yeah, who is now on law enforcement.
Here in Waukesha. Yeah, and I think he just got promoted. But no, I think this is an excellent point, right? And so we're seeing that the state statutes are a big obstacle. And so that's going to be a next stage in this battle of changing the state statutes. And I recognize there's some state representatives who are introducing some bills to try to actually increase the level of transparency around these questions. And so we've been working closely with them in Madison to make sure that we can get some of this repealed so that our municipalities can have accountability.
So, Karina, you got the last of it. You say what?
Hi, guys. I think that it's a dangerous road to think about that you need more and more reinforcement. Look what's happening in New York. Last week, my niece got frisked in the subway by guard. They already bringing a guard in New York.
Yeah, National Guard. So the National Guard is in the subways.
Not capable of doing
it. Right.
National Guard in New York.
Yeah. Hey, Karina, thank you very much for the call. So you wanna say what in closing?
You know, in closing, like I said, March 18th, we're expecting a decision around SOP 575. And, you know, we believe that it was created well within the purview of the FPC. We believe that this whole lawsuit is just a farce. It's just a way to delay justice, but you can't delay justice anymore. And we need justice in our city, and it's a desperate need. And so we're going to continue to fight at the city level, at the county level, and at the state level to make sure that we're on the right side of history, to make sure that we have proper accountability and transparency from law enforcement, because it's our democratic right to have those things as residents of the state of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee.
You know, man, you guys haven't gone anywhere. And that's a good thing, because the truth of the matter is none of us ever know when it might be our turn, right?
No, you're right. And that's why we're not going anywhere. And we're going to be here no matter what comes to our city, including the, you know, the RNC coming. Right. Like I said, July 15th, we'll be within sight and sound of them, letting them know that we're against their racist reactionary agenda. And so we're going to be out in the streets. We're going to continue to apply pressure how we can and continue to build a people's movement.
All right. That is Alan Chavoya again with Milwaukee Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression on the Earl Ingram Show, Motown Mondays.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us can agree we should have the freedom to make our own medical decisions. Politicians should have no role at all, but not California mega millionaire Eric Hovde. Hovde said, "I am totally opposed to abortion, and I'm 100% pro-life." And he supported overturning Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights. Hovde's been supported by Wisconsin Right to Life, an extreme anti-abortion group that supports banning abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. processed and threatens doctors and nurses with criminal charges for providing abortion care. With views like that, Hovde could be a crucial vote in favor of a national abortion ban, letting politicians decide what's right for women. Call Eric Hovde at his California office at 714-730-4444. Tell him his position on abortion is dangerous for Wisconsin women. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. So, you know, Motown Monday is going to be, again, an opportunity to go back, if you've been around a little while, to what I think it was like some of the greatest times in music. If you listen to all of the groups that were able to transcend, you know, color barriers, the Supremes, the Four Tops, Smokey Robinson, Mary Wells, Little Stevie Wonder, on and on, Marvin Gaye, on and on and on. And the list is far too broad for me to talk about in a couple minutes. We're going to cover all of those great groups all the way up through the Jacksons and even more so, Blue-Eyed Soul groups, as every Monday you can join with us as, again, you take us back. I'll be taking us back to a time that I was, you know, a young boy and in the 60s, you know, and first time that I heard Motown music, and it was the Temptations, and I fell in love with them through grade school and all the way through middle school and high school and on and on and on. And to watch them, the Supremes and Diana Ross and Mary Wells and the Four Tops, Levi Stubbs and the Four Tops and the Impressions and on and on and on. It was a fantastic time. And all of that music was happening during the civil rights struggle. And so a lot of us, especially people of color who during that time were very proud of what Berry Gordy and the Motown sound was able to create that basically transcended race. And so we're going to be, you know, going down memory lane every Monday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the Earl Ingram Show in Motown Mondays. Let me change the subject. So there was, Calvin, did you see or hear about Senator Britt who got to rebut President Biden's State of the Union speech? And she was a Republican and was given the opportunity to speak in opposition.
Yeah, I heard clips of it.
And so Senator Britt was, and Republicans, let's be clear, one of the main planks in their immigration battle is sex trafficking. And so they want to lead people to believe that many of the immigrants who come into this country are sex trafficking. And as if that is the rule, not an exception. And so it was, you know, not by osmosis that when Senator Britt gave her rebuttal to Joe Biden's State of the Union address that she started talking about sex trafficking. And she pointed out a woman named Carla Giacanto Romero. And she talked about this woman who was sex trafficked, and to somehow mislead the American people that this happened under Joe Biden. Well, it certainly didn't happen under Joe Biden. It clearly was something that the Republicans had in keeping with what they do to mislead people into believing that immigrants are coming here somehow to sex traffic the American people. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. So what I did is I started thinking, well, sex trafficking, let's see. Look at sex trafficking around the world. And yes, it takes place all over the world, sex trafficking. But you know the number one place that sex trafficking happens? The United States. Calvin, the United States leads the world in sex trafficking. Listen to this. How come in the sex trafficking in the United States, it is estimated that between 15,000 to 50,000 women and children are forced into sexual slavery in the United States every year? And that total number varies widely, as it is very difficult to research. 15 to 50,000, and that's not even a ballpark figure. So how common is sex trafficking in the United States? And where is it most common? No surprise, in the United States, human trafficking tends to occur around international travel hubs with large immigration populations, notably in California, Texas, and Georgia. Under the federal law, it is a crime to make people work by use of force, coercion or fear. And so we really need to, those of you who buy into all of that, you know, foolishness that you're hearing from Republicans, we need to look at what's happening in our country. So yes, immigrants come to the country and are being sex trafficked inside of our nation by many Americans. But that's not the story you're being told. And you can buy into whatever belief it is you want to believe, you know. P.T. Barnum said there's a new sucker born every moment. And so to build this story that this senator did about this particular woman to mislead people to believe that this happened under Joe Biden is what we really need to be talking about, right? And the fact that she's talking about that one instance and she's talking about this immigrant when she could be talking about just American citizens who are sex trafficked every day in our nation. 844-967-2789 is the number. Up next, we'll talk about it on the Earl Ingram Show. Love to hear your thoughts on it. 844-967-2789. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
For a big Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, we'll take your phone calls. We'll give you all the headlines. Devil's Advocates, 4 to 6 statewide.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The weather is warm, windy, and dry today. Wildlife officials are warning about the danger of wildfires in Wisconsin. Most of the state is under a moderate risk for wildfires, but the risk is high in the Northwest. A lack of snow this winter led to an early start to the fire season. The U.S. House votes this week to try to force Chinese company ByteDance to sell the popular social media app TikTok. Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher says the bill is not a ban.
It is TikTok's choice whether to continue and not be hosted on app stores or just to divest and separate from ByteDance and TikTok, and then people can continue to enjoy the app.
As it is, Gallagher says it's too easy for the Chinese Communist Party to use TikTok to spread electioneer lies in the U.S. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For news from the Center, WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The DOT said it will be closing part of Highway 12 near Wisconsin Dells for construction the next few months, beginning today. The $2.2 million project will replace the section of highway from the northern Sauk County line down to Highway 13 on the northwestern side of Wisconsin Dells. The project will begin today and last until mid-July. Detours include using Highway 13 and the interstate to get around the construction zone. Tomorrow is expected to be the final day of the legislative session in Wisconsin, with the Senate taking the floor. There, it is likely that the Senate will fire two members of the UW Board of Regents, who both voted against a deal to fund infrastructure projects and pay raises for UW staff in return for cutting DEI positions. John Miller and Dana Walks will be voted on by the full Senate tomorrow after a committee recommended not confirming them. Walks, a lawyer from Eau Claire, said if he's fired, he is considering running for the state assembly. Fire danger remains high in western Wisconsin today, with temperatures climbing into the mid-60s. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In crop dusting news, actor Sam Neill told the Today Show about his son's silent but deadly habits. It seems Neill and his son were seated next to Princess Diana at the Jurassic Park premiere in London in 1993, when during the movie, Neill noticed horrible smells wafting over the area and realized it was his 10-year-old son's gas that was compromising the entire theater. Neill did say it was a thrill to sit next to the princess during the movie, and he loved watching her reactions, adding that she was really into it, at times tearing up or gasping and putting her hands over her face. I assume that was her reaction to the film and not his son's flatulence. Neill told the hosts he did not blame his son, letting Princess Di believe it could be him. That is a good dad. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 64 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southwest at 15 to 25. Tonight we'll drop down to 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and warm, 69 for a high. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy. Could see a few showers by late Wednesday and Wednesday night. Our high Wednesday, 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay. Hey, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Fall from your eyes. Oh,
that's how it is, my little darling. Yeah, now, I know you're walking down a lonesome road.
All right, welcome back to Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, you know, before we went to break, I was talking about sex trafficking. And Katie Britt, Senator Katie Britt, who was responding to, you know, President Joe Biden's State of the Union speech, a sex trafficking survivor slammed Senator Katie Britt, Republican from Alabama, after the lawmaker inaccurately used her story in a response to President Joe Biden's State of the Union address as part of an attack on his border policies. Britt's communications director confirmed that Britt was talking about Carla Jacanto Romero, a woman who has previously testified before Congress about being forced to work in brothels in Mexico 20 years ago. Speaking to CNN, Romero said no one from Britt's camp or anywhere else contacted her asking for permission to use her story in the GOP's response. And she also confirmed allegations from viral TikTok video that Britt's telling of the story was at best completely misleading. Again, I was telling you guys about the sex trafficking, that the United States is the number one place for sex trafficking in the nation. Yet, if you listen to Republicans in the world, yet if you listen to Republicans, they're going to lead you to believe that all the sex trafficking and sex trafficking is happening at the border, and that we should be certainly focusing on that almost more than anything else. Which U.S. city has the most cases of human trafficking? The U.S. city with the most cases of human trafficking? Uh-oh. Texas! Texas! The number one place for human trafficking. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing, sir?
Morning, Earl. Another great topic. You know, Fox has massaged and massaged the news on the economy and the border. The border was a problem. Fox wants it to be chaos. But in all actuality, it is not chaos. It's a problem. They feel that they will destroy America as much as they can if it means Trump becomes president. That line that goes on the border and this thing about trafficking, oh, my God, it's just another symptom of the disease that this country has to look and raise up a convicted felon as president. We've got to wake up, America.
Well,
being lied to, but thanks to you, Earl, you're calling them out.
Hey, Bill, thank you. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, these are the facts. Human trafficking cases reported by state. While these three states have the highest rates per capita, California, Texas, and Florida. Is it coincidental that Texas, a Republican governor, Florida, a Republican governor, the highest number of sex trafficking cases in the United States? Let's go to CJ. Hey, CJ. Good morning. I guess you're going to clarify what the Republican senator was saying, right?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Earl. There's only one party, one president that is in court fighting to keep the border open.
No, CJ. I'm not going to have a dialogue with you about the border. I'm talking about the fact that this, her conversation and Republicans, and I've heard you even talk about the case about sex trafficking and those immigrants at the border. And I just pointed out to you and everybody else who's listening, the number one nation on earth where sex trafficking is the United States. So I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to go back and have a dialogue about something that has nothing to do with the conversation that I'm having. If you want to have some conversation about what we're talking about, you're welcome. But we're not going down the path that has nothing to do with the conversation I'm having.
Well, you should listen to Homeland Security then, Earl.
I don't need to listen to Homeland Security. I'm reading right here, you know, from Google, all these different areas that clearly state that America is the number one sex trafficking nation on earth. I don't need to listen to Homeland Security.
Where do you think it comes from, Earl?
Hey,
where
CJ?
Do you think it's concentrated from? They've lost.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Earl. First off, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And when I say that every call that I make, I don't think that's a partisan thing. And getting money out of politics, I don't think that that's a partisan thing, like some caller called last week and said. That should be something that all of us, we the people, all of us are the government. This Katie Brett brings up a case back from when it was George War Criminal Bush's administration where that happened. And I think the sex trafficking probably happens the most where Jeffrey Epstein was involved and Giselle, whatever her name is, was. And
right.
Yes, that was bipartisan, and all those people that did do that should be in jail. So I'm not saying, you know, one party versus another. But I will tell you this. The Republicans are the biggest liars. They if they're spewing it, they're doing it. Just remember that. Anything that comes out of their mouth, they're doing it. And I'll tell you what, I saw one of the most disgusting displays this weekend. Donald Trump apparently at a rally, and he made fun of Joe Biden's stutter. And for all the kids out there and all the people out there that have a stuttering issue, it's just unbelievable to me that he can get away with that stuff.
Hey,
and the media does not actually call it out. But
Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, again, boys and girls ages 15 to 17 years old, that's the average age of young people who are being sex trafficked in our country. And I don't, you know, if you want to talk about sex trafficking, and then we don't need to go to the border. We need to deal with that in this nation. You know, we live in a nation that, you know, we just had the Oscars on last night. You look at how women are portrayed in our nation. 844-967-2789 is the number. Anybody can weigh in on this. Women have been sexualized in our nation. There was a time when that didn't happen. When I was a young boy, they didn't sexualize women. They didn't have women on television with their cleavage out. They didn't have women in any sexualized position on television in my lifetime. They clearly didn't allow that. Something changed. Something happened. And so when you look at movies, you can't help but see the position that women are in this country. The people who make the clothing, what do they do? Women are basically undressed. In many instances, look at what they are wearing. And these are the top fashion designers who basically unclothe women, for heaven's sakes. You know, there are women now in fashion, they're walking around with no pants. Calvin, have you ever seen that? Oh, you don't. Oh, well, you know, I have to look at that stuff, Calvin. I'm a radio talk show host, so I have to keep my eye on that to make sure I can.
Sure, Earl. Is that the reason?
So I can come in and have this conversation. But it's true. See-through clothing. You've seen that, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, see-through clothing. Come on now. You know, what do you think when women are being sexualized in that manner and men seeing that and men who can't control themselves, that's happening in our nation. And so instead of us challenging that and pushing back on that, why are these young people being, again, sexualized and then sex trafficked in our nation? It's what you see on television. It's what you see on the internet. It's what you see in the movies. You know, that's it. So, but yet we don't push back on that. We should be pushing back on that. Let's go to Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. Welcome back.
Look,
Karina. I know I'm not making any friends, but if I'm not telling the truth, 844-967-2789, you got your chance to prove me wrong.
Right, but look at the male wife. Come on, it's completely legal, but what is this? The male wife. And we're talking about when we're talking about trafficking, we're talking about American citizens stealing children, young women, capturing them and selling inside America,
right,
to people who are completely sick, buying people.
Americans.
Just because this country has a foundation on slavery and they cannot get out of that mentality that the people are not getting bought.
You know, I can't disagree with you, Karina. You know, that's what sex trafficking is slavery. And it used to be just for girls and now boys. And yet, as I forgot who it was, maybe it was Tom who talked about Jeffrey Epstein. And so high class, well-to-do people who took advantage of those children, and many of them got to walk away because they were well-to-do. But you can't talk about sex trafficking and blame that on migrants when you need to look and see that our nation leads the nation in those kinds of things. And whether people want to believe it or not or talk about it or not, I'm sorry, you know, that's what I do. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WEUK and 101 FM, the show.
From the center, WRCE.
Imagine, it's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Wants a man to do, oh baby. I'll sacrifice for you, I'll even do wrong for you, oh baby. Every minute, every hour, I'm gonna shower you with love and affection. Look how it's coming in your direction.
Welcome back to Motown Monday. And so, in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing some creative things with Motown Monday. You know, you're going to be able to call and let me know some of the songs you want us to play during Motown Monday. We're going to do some different things as we ramp up with Motown Monday. You naming songs, maybe we can come up with some prizes and all those kind of things. I got to tell you, the fact that Motown has, at least 60 years now, Motown has been going strong. And the amazing thing is, there's probably a handful of all of those great entertainers that are left. And I guarantee you they'll be playing Motown songs long after I'm gone and long after many of you in the listening audience is gone. It was a very creative time, very competitive as young people from Detroit, from California, from across the nation great artists, made a great living, and it's still amazing to me that all of those tunes, just like the one we just got through playing, I'm Gonna Make You Love Me by The Temptations and The Supremes. Many of them you haven't heard, but you're going to hear them. And so the person that I am has been shaped by that music. And every time I play it and every time I hear it, I know the lyrics to almost all of those songs. It's still in my head, you know, and it will be until the day I leave here. So it never gets old. And so 844-967-2789, what's your favorite Motown song in the time we have left? You know, I can tell you, I struggle at times. I know who my favorite group is. It is The Temptations, but they're closely followed by The Four Tops. You know, that competition was always a great competition. Those guys could really sing the lyrics. Many of those lyrics coincided again with the struggles during that day and during that time. And so you're going to be able to walk down memory lane with me. And I was doing some Motown things anyway, but we're going to ramp up even more on Mondays. That's going to be a very special time, and it's going to be solely, again, that. But I'm so excited that I get a chance now, and I may just do, you know, on any given Monday, maybe I'll do all the Four Tops tunes. You have heard maybe some tunes that you didn't know who it was. But I tell you something, and it may be just your one favorite song, and you haven't heard all the other songs, but you know, groups like the Four Tops made, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10 albums. Groups like the Temptations made 20, 25 albums. Supremes. And they just, there was hit after hit after hit after hit. And so maybe many of those songs that you'll be hearing, you probably didn't know who they were. But we're going to give you an opportunity to find out. So I'm really, really excited about Motown Mondays. And I'll talk a little bit about, you know, exactly where it was, where I was, where my mind was during those periods of time, you know, and where we are today. And I can tell you every time I hear a song like the one we're going to close out with, man, it's just like yesterday, you know, no greater love song than the Temptations and the Supremes, I'm Gonna Make You Love Me. Well, we're getting ready to get out of here. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madnair. Madnair on Air. Listen to the Temptations and the Supremes. I'm Gonna Make You Love Me as we wrap up today's show. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow.
Hey, baby. I'm yours. And every step I make brings me closer, baby, closer to you.
And with each beat of my heart, for every day we apart, I'll hunger for every wasted hour.
And I, every night and every day, I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna get you, look out, cause I'm gonna get you.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Coming up Monday on Madnair on Air, join us for 3 headlines and a lie, and we learn about organ donation with Versity's Colleen McCarthy. I hope you can join us.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The question swirling around the Princess of Wales continue swirling after a photograph.